Let me ask you to just stand right where you're at this morning, if you would just rise to your feet. Would you join me in prayer? If you are a husband standing next to your wife, follow along. And if you're a wife standing next to your husband, you pray for him as well. If you're a parent standing next to one of your children, you begin to pray. And also pray for the one on your right and the one on your left. Would you join me? Father God, we just pray this morning as we come together, as we look unto you, Lord, the very bread of life. Father, for all husbands, we pray for our wives, Lord, this morning, that they would be sanctified through the washing of water by your word. Oh, Lord, that you would guide them into all truth through the word of God. And ladies, as we pray for our husbands, Father, we just pray this morning that you would make our husband into the man that you would have him to be, one who lives under the authority and in submission to Jesus Christ, his Lord and his Savior. And help us as a couple to submit ourselves one to another as we ought to in the fear of our Lord. Father, as parents, help us to do what your word encourages us to do, to teach, to encourage our children and to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and to make certain that we get them to Sunday school and we bring them to the places they need to be, that we would become very active as a family in following the leadership of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we would recognize that just an hour here and there is not near enough in the world in which we're living. Oh Lord, would you help us to become grounded in the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning we pray for those on our right and for those on our left, for those before us and those behind us, that if there be any here this morning that do not yet know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day. Lord, help us to recognize the times in which we're living and to understand that the rapture of the church is very, very near. And Lord, help us to be ready, as Paul wrote to the Romans, it is high time for the church to awake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Let us keep our eyes on our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Look not to the right nor to the left, but let us firmly plant our eyes on Jesus. And it is in His name we pray this morning, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Christian missionary and martyr Jim Elliot said this: wherever you are, be all there. Live to the full every situation you believe to be the will of God. Now, we all out in the world during the week, amen. We all can agree on that, I'm certain. How many of you have ever heard this or had someone say this to you? You know, the problem in the world today is the church just needs to get more committed. You ever hear that? Has anybody ever said that to you? It amazes me how the lost people of the world always want to tell the Christian how to behave. But you know, we need to be more committed. We hear that all the time. Is there a greater need for commitment, for faithfulness in the family of God today? What say you, church? Is there? And so if someone were to ask you the question, what would you say? How would you answer that if someone was to come up to you and say, well, you know, what do you think? Does there need to be greater commitment today? And so, friend, commitment simply means this. If we use Jim Elliot's analogy, what Jim Elliot was saying is that you're all in. And you can be counted on to fulfill your responsibilities as a church member under God. And we all are, in a sense, like Ruth in this aspect. We who have repented of our sins and received Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior by faith are to leave the old world behind, and we're to live for Christ. Or do you not know that the Bible says, and that He died for all, that they which live should no longer henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and who rose again? 2 Corinthians 5:15. And so we're to leave the world behind. And as a child of God, is that how you're living today? See, there are many people out there in the world today who claim to be a child of God, but the problem is They've not left the world behind. They live like the world. And of course, we know what James said, to be a friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. Now, we don't think of it like that, do we, oftentimes? But friend, that's exactly what God says. If you're too worldly, you're an enemy of the Lord. And so we're to be living. Our lives are to change. The Bible says, behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Can I ask you this morning, are you living like that new creature in Christ? See, really what we're asking is, are you all in with God? My friend, you know how you're living? Because at home, that's who you really are. We can all dress up. We can all smell good for church. We can all say the right thing at church. But it is at home, that's who you really are. And I'm just simply asking you a question. Are you all in with God? Is your life a reflection of the light and the glory? Are you the salt and the light of the earth? Because it kind of reminds me, and I've used this analogy before. You take a sponge, you fill it full of water, but it's not till you put the pressure to it that you see what comes out. When the pressures of life come upon you, does Christ come out? Are you all in with God? Or is there room for improvement? And just what does it mean to be all in with God? And thankfully, we don't have to guess, because there is someone in God's Word. We've been looking at her. Her name is Ruth. And we can look at Ruth and we can quickly ascertain that here is a woman in the Word of God. And why was the Scripture written to us in the first place? It was written as an example unto us. And here in God's Word is a wonderful woman whom God points out, and her name is Ruth. And God wants us to know that wherever Ruth was, she was all there. And in this technological age in which we're living, isn't it true? Sometimes we can be talking to somebody and they're not all there, are they? Because all of a sudden you hear ding, and out comes the phone. And you're talking. Huh? And you wonder, where are they? They're not there. You think you're having a conversation, but no conversation is taking place. You might as well be talking to the air. They're not there. And Ruth, she's a Moabitess. She's living on the wrong side of the tracks. And I know she lived long before the technological boon of our age. But friends, she was all in. And that's a character quality that we all can learn from. This Ruth is Naomi's daughter-in-law. And she has refused to go back to her people. Instead, she has left her people, which is a picture for us of what it means to leave the world behind. She has left the godless world behind. She has left her idols behind. And she has left in order to go and be with God's people and look forward to going to God's land. She's gone to God's land. And so that's what the Christian in the age of grace has been called to do. We've been convinced in our minds that we were sinners. We were convicted in our hearts that we were lost and in need of a Savior. We've come, we've knelt at the cross, we've repented of our sins, and now we're to get up and we're to go forward with Jesus. We're to leave the world behind. We live in the world, but friend, we're not to be of the world. And so I'm simply asking you this morning, is there room for improvement in your commitment to the one that you say has saved you, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you all that you should be with Jesus? Are you all in? Ruth is a widow, like her mother-in-law. Her circumstances are adverse. I wonder, have you ever discovered yet for your own life? Maybe you're in the process of discovering it. Don't know where you're at. God does. Praise the Lord. But friends, before God changes our circumstances, He wants to change our heart. Say that with me. Before God changes our circumstances, He wants to change our heart. Here's why. If our circumstances change for the better, yet we remain the same, then we become worse. God's purpose in providence before I say that this morning, let me ask you this question. How many of you like to be comfortable? Now remember where you are. If you like to be comfortable, raise your hand. Thank you. Lord, they're being honest this morning. God's not interested in our comfort, friends. He's interested in our conformity. Or do you not know that the Bible says, whom He predestined, He ordained that they would be conformed to the image of His Son. I don't know how long it's been since you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you were to look in the mirror, can I ask you, are you looking more like the Son? Do you look more like Jesus today? When life squeezes you, does Jesus come out? You see, comfort is not God's goal for us. Christ-like character is His divine goal for each of us. And for God to be able to achieve that in any of us, we've got to make a decision. We've got to do what Daniel did in Daniel 1:8. Speaking of Daniel, when he was taken captive and went into to Babylon, the Bible says in Daniel 1:8 that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself for the world. And friend, for you and I, we've got to purpose in our heart that we want to be more like Christ. And until you make that decision that I want to be more like Jesus, and that becomes the purpose of your life, you're never going to become all that you should be in Christ. You're never going to be all in with God. And remember, Naomi, she's bitter against God. We've covered that. Ruth was willing for God to have His way and His will in her life. And I find it interesting when I meditate upon this that here's Naomi of Israel, and she is not in a place where God can bless her at all. He can't even begin to do His work of grace because bitterness has so gripped her heart. She's angry with God. She's angry at life circumstances. She's just plain bitter. Her sin of bitterness makes her unblessable at this point in her life. But Ruth, on the other hand, is where God begins. And you want to know why God begins with the unsaved person instead of the saved person? Because the unsaved person is willing. Interesting, isn't it? That the one who should know more of God is going to be influenced by the one who is seeking God. And friends, don't miss this. Nothing quells the Spirit's work in our lives quicker than the sin of bitterness. Now friends, God knows our heart this morning. He knows all of our heart. Can I ask you a question this morning? It's a very personal question. You're not going to like me asking it, so let's everybody just say ouch. Okay. Are you angry this morning about something? Do you walk around complaining and grumbling and bitter, bitter, bitter? I mean, your day begins like this. Grumble, 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 grumble. And you just grumble, grumble, grumble all day long. From morning to night, all you do is grumble, grumble, grumble. You take offense at everything because you're angry and you're bitter and God can't work in you. You have quenched the work of the Spirit. You have grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And so, despite the loss of her husband and the adversity that she faced as a widow, she's in the same circumstance as Naomi. And yet, Ruth has not become bitter. We learn a valuable principle here. If we want God to work in our lives and accomplish His gracious purposes, then there are certain conditions that you and I must meet. And the conditions are illustrated for us here in Ruth chapter 2. Be taking your Bibles and opening them up in God's precious Word, Ruth chapter 2. And I'll give you a moment to get there this morning. Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, if you're there, say amen. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. A Latin proverb says, providence assists not the idle. And the first thing we need to understand is we must live by faith. What is faith? Forsaking all, I trust Him. In other words, I'm not trying to control my circumstances. I'm not trying to dictate to God what He ought to be doing. I'm simply walking and trusting that God is going to take care of me. And we have that wonderful promise of God, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise of God, and I hope you're standing on the promises of God, because when you stand on the promise of God, you can live by faith. And a Latin proverb says, providence assists not the idle. And to this point in our series here, we've been learning about Ruth. And one thing we can say about Ruth, man, here's a girl, and she ain't idle. She's the kind of girl every man will want to marry, because she's a worker. When she left her land for God's land, she took a step of faith. And she asked Naomi here, because this is what Naomi's doing. This is what most bitter people do. They just looking for something, aren't they? All day long, they just look for something to complain about. And then as soon as they find something, they got to run all the way over here and tell somebody. Because if they're miserable, they won't want to make everybody else miserable too. You know the old saying. And I won't say it because I'll get myself in trouble. And all the men will say, you out there on your own, Pastor. But this is a step of faith on Ruth's part. Naomi says, go ahead and go. But it's a commandment on God's part. You see, whenever they reap the harvest, God, people were to leave some for the poor. The some that was left was called the gleanings. And the poor would go to a field and they would gather them up so they could eat. It wasn't like it is in today's world where a lot of times it's handed to them. No, if you didn't work, you didn't eat. Simply because providence doesn't assist the idle. Ruth believed that God loved her. It's amazing. When she's got this grumpy old mother-in-law who's as bitter as can be, and Ruth still believes, that's a miracle on herself. Ruth believes God loves her. Ruth believes that God is going to care for her. And therefore, she also believed, if God loves me and God cares for me, God is going to provide for me. She's a living example of Philippians 4:19. And all she needed to do was take that step of faith. She just needed to step out. And this is quite a step. Because she is an alien who is living in a foreign land, and she is a widow as well. But to live by faith means you've got to be all in and take God at His word. Friend, are you all in with God? Do you take God at His word? And do you act upon it? You know what the Bible says. You hear it around here all the time. Be ye a doer of the word and not a what? Hearer only, deceiving your own self. And so she acted. She heard and she acted. And knowing who owned the various parcels of ground, not knowing who owned the various parcels of ground. But she acted upon faith. All she hoped for was that she would find a field where she would glean and she could experience the grace of Almighty God upon her life. And so she acted. But God has also gone to work. Not only did Ruth go to work, God was at work, providentially speaking. God's working in our lives is both a delight and a mystery. You know, I'm still wondering how a kid who grew up in Western New York became a pastor in Southwestern Virginia. I'm so thankful you've all accepted me, a New Yorker. A Northerner. Because you all know what they say in the South, beware of the Yankee. But here we are. It's a working of God. It's a providential working of God. And I've learned that God is constantly working in the lives of those who are committed to Him. Understand that God can't and will not work in an unfaithful life. And so this is another question we must ask ourselves. Lord God, as much as lies within me right at this moment, with what I know in Your Word, am I faithful to it? Only You can answer that. But are you faithful to what you do know? And are you growing that you can know more? That person who has grieved the Holy Spirit and quenched His work in them because is that person who God can't work in at all. You see, there is a danger when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And do you know, you can take all the grumbling that we do about so many things, and who is it that we're really grumbling against? God. Absolutely. This was Israel's problem. The moment they left Egypt, every little hurdle they came to, they began to grumble and complain against Moses and Aaron. And really all they were doing was grumbling and complaining against God. And we know that that first generation didn't enter the promised land, did they? See, Ruth is simply trusting that if she walks by faith, God will provide. She's doing exactly what Jesus encourages you and I in the church to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. In other words, walk by faith. Don't walk by sight. Family and friends, if we want to experience the grace of God, we must live by faith. But there's a second condition we must meet. We must live by the grace of God. Look with me at verses 4-16. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy Yankee and thy mother, thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou thither, and eat of thy bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Friends, when Ruth set out to glean in this field, the one thing that she needed most of all was for someone to show her some grace. I think about this in relation to so many things. Husbands, do you know what your wives need from you? To show her grace. Wives, do you know what your husbands need from you? To show them grace. Do you know what our children need from us? To show them grace. Do you know what this world needs from us who say that we know the God of all grace? To show them grace. Friends, if we have been grace-filled by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, should we not, walking in the new man, leaving behind the world that is so ungraceful, should we not be graceful with one another and with this world in which we live? Did not God forgive us of all of our sins? Oh, what merciful, marvelous grace. How will our wives, our husbands, our children, our families, in the world in which we live, ever come to experience the unconditional love of Christ if you and I, who have been saved by grace, are not living graceful and gracefully? Why is it that we're so quick to take offense? Why is it when someone says they're sorry, we refuse to accept an apology? Why is it that we want our pound of flesh? Why is it we want so many things, but we will not extend the grace that we ourselves have received? She needed someone to show her grace. Grace is favor that is bestowed on someone who doesn't deserve it and cannot earn it. And so you see in Ruth, we can see ourselves also, spiritually speaking, we don't deserve heaven's rest. We can't earn heaven's rest. We deserve hell. That's what we've earned. Our sins, our filthiness, our wretchedness has earned but one thing. The fires of hell. But oh, there is a God in glory who looked down upon us. There's a God in glory who loved us. There's a God in glory who said they need a Savior. And there's a God in glory who provided that Savior in Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I'll go, Father. I'll go. I'll pay the penalty. I'll take it all. I'll give them grace. How is it that we who say we are saved by grace find it so hard to live with grace? Find it so hard to be graceful toward one another? You know, hell is the last place any sane person would want to be, amen? So we were in a pickle, say the least. But oh, aren't you glad there's a Savior? Aren't you glad there was someone who showed us grace? Friend, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are you glad you're going home this morning? Amen? Because you know, if God had said, uh-uh. I'm so glad God said, uh-huh. What about you? Are you happy God said, uh-huh? Say that with me this morning, uh-huh. Oh, I'm glad God said, uh-huh, and we're going home to heaven. But friend, we've got to live like we're going home to heaven. We've got to be graceful. We not only got to be grace-filled. Ruth is a poor widow. She's an alien. She's on the lowest rung of the social ladder. She needs someone to show her grace. And God provides that someone in the person of Boaz, who for Ruth is a picture of Christ to us. That's what God wants to do today. He wants to provide for someone a picture of His grace. Will you be that someone that God can use to show grace so that another soul will come home to heaven? Will you be grace-filled? You say you're grace-filled. I'm asking, will you be graceful? Are you all in with God? Friends, we need to be all in with Him, don't we? You know, God wants to be able to bless us abundantly. More than we could ever ask, think, or hope. The only problem is, sometimes we as God's children are too much like Naomi, aren't we? We grumble, complain, and act bitterly when we ought to be more like Ruth, all in with God. God is pointing to Ruth as our example of what He will do in the lives of those who are all in with Him. Boaz's eye caught the presence of a stranger in his field. And he took the initiative and he made the very first move. And isn't that what God has done for us? He moved and He came to our aid, not because we deserve anything, but because He loves us and wants us for Himself. I am so glad to be a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am so glad that at Calvary He purchased my soul and I'm no longer my own. I live for Him because He died for me. He loved me so that the life that I now live, I no longer live in this flesh. Jesus Christ lives within me. And may all the church be able to say the same. Oh, to be filled with the grace of God means I can look past the times, just as my wife must, when we fail to do what we should as husbands and wives. Of course, that never happens in your marriage, does it? It means when somebody cuts us off in traffic, we can pray, oh, bless their soul. That means when we got to be patient and wait. We can wait knowing that today's order of business is that we're to be working on the Spirit's fruit of patience and may God work in us. It means we can be submissive. We don't have to have our own way. It means we just trust that God knows our day. He knows the time we need. He'll take care of it because His providence is conforming us to the image of His Son. We're not to try to conform Him to the image of us. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen? You know, and I think about Boaz looking out there in that field. I can just see him being smitten with Ruth. She must have been a looker. And therefore, like Christ, He took the first step to meet her needs. He spoke to her. He promised to protect her. And He promised to provide for her. And don't miss this. In spite of all that a world of sinners has done to the Lord, God still speaks to us in grace today. He not only speaks the word of salvation, He gives us guidance for our everyday lives if we will just look into the word of Almighty God. Amen? Ruth had no idea who Boaz was. She had no idea that he had instructed his male workers, don't mess with that girl. Leave her alone. Don't be hitting on her. Don't be teasing her. Don't be flirting with her. Stay away from her. She had no idea. She simply believed his word and her needs were met. This is a picture of what God wants us to do. Believe his word and just trust that our needs will be met. Friend, if you're not in the Word of God, if you never read the Word of God, you're never going to know the wonderful promises that are contained in the Word of God.
God will take care of us. So why do we worry? Now remember where you are. I asked you a question earlier and you were all honest. Are you still going to be honest? How many of you are prone to worry about things? Lord, they're still being honest. Ain't that great this morning? Friends, do you not know that the Bible says to bring all, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you? Do you not know that the Bible says, in everything through prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? Isn't it great to know I don't have to explain that, because God says it's the peace that passes all understanding, but He says, when you bring it to Me, it's yours. I will give you this peace. How many of you are in need of that kind of peace this morning? Just think, if you just come and give it to the Lord, you can have the peace that passes all understanding. You can have and live according to the promises of God, knowing that God will take care of you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And Boaz, Ruth's response to Boaz is what our response to Christ should be. One of humility and gratitude. She acknowledged her own unworthiness and she accepted His grace. You know, it's only proud sinners that won't receive grace from God, but are you aware that the Bible says grace goes to the humble and law to the proud? Have you humbly accepted the Lord's grace for your life? Ruth did. She took Boaz at his word. She forgot all of her fears, and she just rested in His promises. What would it take for you this morning to forget all of your concerns, forget all of your fears, forget all of your seemingly insurmountable obstacles and difficulties, and just lay them out and give them to God, and then get up and walk out of here burden free? Cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. Friend, did you know this? God works 24/7, so you don't have to. You don't have to be up all night long. God says He'll lay those down in perfect peace whose heart and mind are stayed on Him. Psalm 4:8. I just love that. I hope that you're satisfied with Jesus, and I hope your eyes are on Him. We must live by faith, and we must live by grace. And then finally, we must live in hope. Look with me at verses 17 through the end of the chapter. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? But something's happening. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And a light clicks, and Naomi says unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men, until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Can you just sense the excitement and the joy? After listening to Boaz, I can picture Ruth laboring all day long with a happy and a hopeful heart. She didn't have to worry about the men harassing her, others hindering her. She had food to eat, she had water to quench her thirst, and a place of rest when she needed to take a break. But then there was Naomi. How will she respond to Ruth's testimony? And oh, the power of a testimony. Friend, can I ask you a question? When is the last time you told God about what's happening at Green Valley? When is the last time you went out and told God, told your friends about what God is doing at Green Valley, about what God is doing in your own personal life, about what's taking place at home because you've given your home to God, and how God is working despite your seemingly insurmountable obstacles and difficulties? My God is alive, He is well, and He is at work, and He's a working on me. When's the last time you praised God among your friends and family for all that God is doing? Oh, the power of a testimony. Did you know that you overcome Satan by the word, by the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of your testimony? Revelation 12:11. The power of a testimony can change the life. It can take bitterness and bring it about joy. And that's what we find here. Oh, you see, Ruth told, she went home and she told Naomi where she gleaned, and Naomi began, and she's been so busy blaming God for all the unfortunate things. She hadn't even given Ruth a word of encouragement. Probably hadn't even prayed for her. Probably just said something like this: "Well, I'll pray for you while you're out there. Just go ahead and go." Hadn't done anything but grumble and complain. But then look with me at verse 19. Or verse 20, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness." Who's she praising? She's remembering now the goodness and the grace of God and how God is at work. She's starting to recall. She's starting to understand, maybe I need to put my bitterness away. Maybe I need to stop grumbling and complaining. Maybe I need to get my eyes off myself. Say amen. Because that's where our eyes are most of the time, isn't it true? Maybe I need to get my eyes off myself. Maybe I need to look up to heaven, and maybe I need to stop praising God for all that He can do. My God is a wonderful God. My God can do anything. My circumstances may seem insurmountable. My difficulties are wearing me out. But there is a God in heaven who's a God of all power, a God of all grace, a God of all mercy. My God can do the impossible. Do you know that God this morning? Oh, that's the God we need to know. See, Boaz is a near kinsman who could rescue them from poverty. He can provide them with a new beginning. And that's what Jesus Christ can do for you if you're here and you're lost today. Don't leave this place until you get that right. Don't gamble. Every gambler loses, don't they? They might win a little bit here and there, but they always lose in the end. Don't gamble with your life. You only got one. You may be here this morning and you spent so much time over the past few years grumbling about God, complaining about God. Your wife don't like you. You don't like her. Your family's a mess. All because y'all just grumble and grumble and grumble and grumble and grumble, and bitterness just fills the air. People just don't want to be around you, do they? They see you coming and they're running the other way because all you do is grumble and complain. Friends, Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. Jesus Christ is the King of kings. Jesus Christ can take your grumbling and He can turn it into gold, can't He? He can do anything. That's the God I know. He is a transforming God. He is a powerful God. Most importantly, He is a sufficient God for all of our needs. Boaz's words to Ruth were all that Naomi needed to hear. And she knew that the God of glory had not given up on her. That the God of glory was still working circumstances. That the God of glory had won Ruth, an alien, a stranger, a Moabitess, to Christ. And when He did, He took her testimony to remind a Christian of the power and the might and the grace of Almighty God. Friends, we must live by faith. We must live by grace. And we must live in hope. And our hope is not a shallow hope, so feeling, but the joyful assurance and confidence that we can trust God and His promises. Our God is more than sufficient to meet all of our needs. Our God is a life-changing, transforming God. And that's what Ruth discovered when she met Boaz. In this coming week, will you be the vessel that God will use, that someone else will come to know the love, mercy, and grace to be found in Jesus Christ? Amen? Father, we pray today, which is Your Word has gone out, it would be an encouragement unto us to, first of all, think about our lives. What is it that we do believe? Father, are we living by faith? Or are we just talking about it? Lord, are we a vessel of Your grace? Or do we just talk about it? Lord, are we living by hope, looking forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior every day? Or do we just talk about it? Lord, I pray that You give us the heart and desire to live it and then talk about it. That way our testimony will have impact. Our life will have meaning. And we'll be like old Boaz here. We'll be a picture of the mercy and grace that is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning we just pray for that person who might be here and is lost today. They've not yet prayed to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're thirsting for something that is real. And Lord, I pray that the realness of the love and grace of Christ has been made evident to them this morning. And Lord, Christians here today, Father, sometimes we're not as graceful as we need to be. Sometimes we don't trust as we ought. Lord, there's room for improvement. Help us to be all in with You. And Lord, there are some among us too who come to church here all the time. But Lord, they've not yet joined Your church. And Lord, You want them to be a part of the family of God. Would You make that clear and evident to them this morning during this invitation? Father, will You have Your will and Your way in us? I hope so. I pray so. Let the Lord of the will be done. Let the will of the Lord be done in each one of us. And all of God's people said, Amen. Friend of